Welcome to the Friendly Jimmy's podcast.
I love that that's the official name now.
It has to be. I haven't changed it on Podbean yet.
Well, stop the tape and call them.
For a very selfish reason.
Get on the yellow pages.
Tell us more.
The reason is, I think the fact that it's called Friendly Geordies, or used to be called Friendly Geordies, probably has more reach. So if people are trying to like, if there's new people, it's like, wait, does this like can't have a...
You know what? It's probably better marketing to just officially, it's called Friendly Geordie. Like it's all on the, but then we call it Friendly Jimmy's. What's the difference?
Well, that's what's
for the secret club.
It's the secret club.
And the only way that you can enter the secret club is right now. You have to touch your finger with your nose. And then that's a little tap is that you're on the in joke.
Yeah. Frank in South Australia, I see you. You didn't do it. Shame on you, Frank.
And yet you say that you're on the in crowd. And you're just as bad as those people that get a Freemasons chat and like, yeah, my granddad was in it.
Yeah, you're still lying to yourself.
That's actually a good tell. So if someone comes up and says, dude, I'm a massive fan of the Friendly Geordies podcast, you can tell he's full of shit.
Yeah.
Because if he was a real fan, he would say Friendly Jimmy's
podcast. Damn, this is, he absolutely this would. And this is the telltale time.
Yeah. This is how you do it.
Finally. Every time after a show, somebody comes up to me and says, I'm a fan of your podcast. I'm like, but what's it called?
What's it called?
That's the way that you thin it out.
You should have said that now, because if like when we're on tour, when I'm on tour with you, and someone's like, are you like, I'm a fan of the pod, I'm going to do that. And I'm like, and if they're Geordies, I'll just be like.
True. All right. Here's the other one. True or false? Bill O'Reilly's mad.
Oh, that's just a decider for life. That's just
a
character flaw.
I don't understand the context. How did that come up just now?
Life. I'm just saying, like, I'm saying if we haven't convinced you that he is hectic as, that there's no one that can spin a rhyme better than Bill O'Reilly. And by rhyme, I mean just yelling at someone, you, sir, are a pinhead. Stop. I gave you your chance to talk. You're a pinhead.
Pinhead or patriot. Actually, wait a second. It's been too long. I want to hear a little bit of Joe. Him. I want to hear him. You do him so well. Because I'm curious.
Just so you know, the audience loved your impression of Bill O'Reilly.
Really?
Yes.
They thought his was the best.
What? Yeah, they thought his was the best.
You traitors. Damn. No, I'm officially changing your name back to Friendly Geordies.
This is it's too late.
It's the Ali and
Miss Love experience. Featuring Friendly Jimmy's.
Ali and Miss Love experience. Sorry?
Yeah.
No, because I remember one comment. You did it first before everyone else. And you use the word pinhead, and one of the comments was, as soon as Miss Love said pinhead, I fucking lost it.
Damn. I thought it was maybe because I said, fuck it, we'll do it live. Because that's only old school. That's not his voice, fair. Like, fuck it, we'll do it. That's old school O'Reilly factor fans. But what I want to hear just quickly from you is.
No, that's just a YouTube fan.
Yeah, true. But what I want to hear from you is.
I don't think it was on the O'Reilly factor at the time. I think it was on MEC.
Yeah, it was outtakes. You're right. Yeah. What I want to hear from you, though, in his voice, because I'm actually curious about his stance on this, because this just came into my mind. What did he think? What was his position on the Iraq war? Shoot.
Oh, right.
Because I'm actually curious. It came to me. I'm like, what actually was his?
What do you think it was?
In classic Fox News style, should just be called dumping on Michael Moore 24/7. It should just be called that.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He looks like Eric Cartman, and no one will ever let him forget that for even a second of his life. And also, don't you think that even when he's just sitting there listening to someone else, it looks like he's getting ready to say, you guys,
it's so true. He is Carmen.
Yeah, but this is what he said. So he gets Michael Moore on and he goes, okay, Michael, so we're not editing this conversation at all, as it was your only request. It's the only time that you came onto the show. That's correct. So here's my question to you. When the British intelligence agency comes to you, when the CIA, the FBI, the American government itself, we've got seven European agencies coming to you and saying that the Iraqis are harboring weapons of mass destruction and you're going to sit there and let them do it. Well, it's not that I care about that. It's that I care about the hundreds of thousands of people that are going to die. And hundreds of thousands of people are dying now, just like they did in 1991 under Saddam Hussein, who used gas weapons. and you're just going to risk that and the instability that goes with that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I don't want American soldiers going there. Hang on. You're bringing up American soldiers. My nephew's going to Iraq. How dare you say that he's not a patriot?
Make it personal. Make it so good.
That's such classic O'Reilly. No, I'm lame.
But like, that's the
typical. You, sir, are a pinhead.
No, but that's the typical. That's such the typical. Like, that's like what the right usually hammers on the left is just like anecdotal evidence doesn't count, which is true. Like it's like,
yeah, but any side in an argument ever says that until it's convenient for them to use it.
True. But did you hear that in an interview when someone was talking about Trump? Cause it's probably a bit of backtracking, but like in an interview you did with Trump, he just gleaned over. It was like, and they're talking about, he's like, cause he's obviously like, he's like on team Trump and he's just like, is like they mentioned the war and it's like, and then he's a non-interventionist in it. Everyone knows that the war wasn't a good idea, but we didn't know. And like, we shouldn't have done it. We know it's okay. We didn't know. The thing is, and it's like, no way. Which one is it? In or out? You know what I mean? Like,
no, he pulled a Mislav. He pulled a Mislav before it was cool.
What's that?
Was that Fox News told him that it was a threat, and then he like did some more digging into it, and then he just goes, okay, so I dropped the ball on this one. That's fine. You just live and learn. Unfortunately, those close to 1 million civilians didn't. Coming up next on The Factor, is Lady Gaga more annoying than Madonna?
And I'm back in again.
That's a good question.
And I'm back.
He's always raising the question.
I want that segue. I want to.
The answer is a solid no. Yeah. Madonna is way more annoying. Lady Gaga is a genius.
Yeah, I'll pay that.
Madonna just like cannot get over the fact that she's not 18 anymore.
Also, Lady Gaga, I think this is a daily debate I have with myself, but today I think she's hot.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it.
She's the Melissa Doyle of Hollywood. Angle
Melissa
is
Melissa Doyle is hot every day.
I don't know.
No, it's the same thing. It's because they. it's different. Doyle. Melissa Doyle is the one that you had a crush on that used to be the Sunrise host that was wrongfully kicked off.
She was great. She was great.
Yes, but she was great. And it's always to do with noses. It's because Melissa Doyle has a scary, crooked Jew nose. And the reason that Lady Gaga is unattractive is because her nose looks like it's just been plucked off the puppet Bert from Sesame Street and glued onto her. And that's why you have that problem.
I have that same issue with...
That's
true.
You got it?
No,
I think Melissa Doyle is... I like her.
What are you talking about?
She's
in terms
hot.
Of hotness.
Hotness, yes. I don't know her as a person.
Rider out of 10.
10.
10.
No,
she's 10.
Jesus,
how easy is that to
she's
play?
She's a 7. Hey,
she is, yes. Just like the channel she's on, she's a 7.
I wasn't going to like rate women.
Wait, who's trapped again, Ali?
Wait, you're not right.
No,
you know,
I'm just
really
going to say
weird?
She's a good looking lady.
I just realized I've been watching so much like pro-Israel stuff that even when Jordan said Jew knows, I was like, I almost went, I'm not on that train. Holy crap.
Well, because Ben Shapiro looks mildly offended.
I guess, yeah. Wait. Who's a 10 though? Which chicks are?
No, she's not a 10. That was a joke. But I'm not telling the. I'm just saying she's a good looking lady.
Why aren't you writing girls anymore? Is it sexist?
I don't know.
Maybe, okay.
You don't know.
I respect you. I respect that.
I'll tell you what the answer is. No, it's not. And anybody who thinks otherwise can take it up with me personally. I'll invite them onto the show.
He's such a fucking legend. I actually watched. This is such a. Non-comment, and I understand that, but I'm going to say it anyway because this is the Freedom Podcast with Friendly Jimmy's Freedom.
Freedom Podcast.
I'm such a like music fan, frankly, that I've watched nearly every single music documentary on Netflix just because I've watched James Brown, I've watched Nina Simone, Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Jimi Hendrix, Elvis, Sinatra. Like
I think all the classics.
Anyway, I was scraping the bottom of the barrel, so I fucking watched the Lady Gaga documentary.
What do you reckon?
Scraping.
Do you have a newfound respect for her?
This is my comment, and it's just you're just gonna be like, "What? This is that's not a point to finish the story on. This is bad, like social interaction, but so pathetic." But I don't know what I thought about the movie. It was okay, but there was a scene. Where she's in her Malibu mansion, chilling with her girlfriends, who I will mention because she's from Queens. and I will say respect to her, and I think it's cool. I think anyway, she's still all her, like not all, she's got like stylists and shit, but like she keeps like a posse of mates that she grew up with in Queens. So she's in this like pool with like, in this mansion with these chicks that are just like, hey, this is a nice, pretty nice weather here. Can I get that pastrami sandwich? Like New York.
Holy shit. She's the real life entourage.
She is entourage. Like
amazing.
People that would be just like, you know, selling pizza or like driving a cab. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. But my,
it is, that is that. And then hey, one of them is the manager just being like, you want to talk to Gaga? You got to talk to me.
No, that actually happens in it.
Wow.
My friend. But
like you do this, Miss Love's like an old high school friend of yours.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, I do. True. I keep my old posse around.
That's true.
Nah, actually after a while, no, I'm pretty much a phony really.
Why?
Because I'm a new introduction.
So that's just me. No, that's not. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it pretty much is. And then everybody else that I hang around with is just people that I pay to sit there and be like, nice one, Jordan. You the man. Good joke.
Wait a minute. So you're she just all is, a bunch of men. Yes, man, aren't you? I see it now. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, much like how she is the real life entourage,
yeah.
I am the Australian Ryan Seacrest.
Wait, but that wasn't my point.
No, you know who the real Ryan Seacrest is? Here's a teaser. Osher Gunsberg coming up.
That's coming up next. But yep. My point was, in that scene, with no explanation, probably because she's free and all power to her, she's just topless talking to her friends about like serious emotional issues she has.
It's like full topless?
Full topless, high def.
Is this on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
not yet. Jesus, Harley.
That was a subtle joke.
I'm just not going to rate chicks from now on. But, let's just talk about softcore porn.
I'm going to suppress all my sexuality in there. Yeah.
Is this a bad idea? Okay, look.
No, I want to say. I want to say, not bad. Continue.
Of course they're not going to be bad. She's a Guido.
Yeah, continue.
I had to confirm if it was on Netflix just to make sure have to get a Stan membership for it.
Oh, it might have been.
Fair enough.
No, I think it was Netflix.
No, it definitely is Netflix because my girlfriend has not shut up about the fact that you get to see a side of Lady Gaga behind the meat dress.
But isn't that like all fucking documentaries? I remember Katy Perry doing an interview and saying the same thing.
She sucks, no doubt. She sucks.
I mean, come on, look. But Miss Love forced me to watch the band Metallica, who is most famous, of course, for their album Saint Anger. And that was
most infamous for it.
Get rid of the in.
Just famous.
I don't know why you're throwing shade on Saint Anger.
I opened up Jordan's world by forcing him to watch. I think you only watched half of it, but I rewinded it for you. Forced him to watch Some Kind of Monster, and it was like when you take mushrooms and a new color is introduced to your spectrum. He was just like, "Whoa, angry rednecks playing rock," and like changed his world. Didn't I? Is that true? Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
Can you confirm?
Because look, before that,
can you
confirm
that?
Absolutely. I was never denying it. It's just I thought before that Southern rap, specifically from Atlanta, yes, was as funny as it gets. Because let's be honest, the top ATL rapper would have an IQ of like 70. So it is funny to watch that. But is even funnier is people who have been famous since they're about 18 years old. Mm. Now they're 50, but they're still mentally 18 years old.
Is this Fred Durst?
No. Metallica. Some Kind of Monster.
Dude, Metallica is not a joke, though. Like, aren't they famous for being, like, one of the best bands ever?
Yeah, but have you seen
Some
Kind of Monster?
Yeah, but it has been a real cliff off. Riley Kiley jumping off a cliff was Saint Anger. And was the one that they decided to make a documentary about.
The worst
where
one,
where it is uncovered that their most serious song, where the lyrics are in between a drum that has not been calibrated properly. So it sounds
off.
Shit. And he's like, sounds shit on purpose. That would make it cool.
Yeah.
Nah, it doesn't. It's like, it you might as well have just recorded someone flipping burgers at McDonald's. It would have sounded better than you.
Yeah, it's true though, man.
There's a song in it where the lyrics are, oh, the shots. All the shots I take, what difference did I make? Right. So from that, you would imagine that he's talking about maybe 50 Cent when he got shot in the face 9 times for dealing drugs to try and get his mum out of the ghetto. Something serious like that.
Mm.
No, he's talking about complaining that Napster was taking too much money off them and then getting backlash online.
That's what it was.
That's his taking shots in life. That is the worst thing that's ever happened to that man.
Why did YouTubers get paid more money?
That was his problem.
Yeah, why do YouTubers get paid out? Huh? Why do fucking YouTubers get paid out?
Like, what do you mean?
This is as trivial as Rice Gum saying, iDubbbz is the real bitch.
Yeah. It's true. It's hilarious. That's what I was saying. It's funny, man. Dude, I was watching some kind of monster for the purely for the hilarity. Me and Jordan bonded on that. That was the. There's only a few times.
I feel closer to Miss Love than my dad after that. It was like going fishing.
It was kind of like that. Like, there's only a few instances where I think music is funny, and I think it's important to embrace those because nothing should be taken to. Like, everything can be funny. Like, a lot of shit that can be funny. It's, and if that exists, you should appreciate that side of it. So that day I made the decision. I'm like, I'm going to walk down memory lane and watch some kind of monster and laugh my ass off. And it was hilarious. It's
all right, I've got it. So you're saying-
I highly recommend it. It's so much better. Yeah.
It's like Spinal Tap, but real.
Look, Some Kind of Monster should be the only thing in Netflix that is under the category comedy. And the rest of it, every other one of those that is in comedy at the moment should be under the category tragedy.
Holy shit, dude. I want to high five that. That was really good. That was really good.
But it's so, like, honestly, have you seen any comedians on Netflix that you didn't know already existed that you laugh at? And actually, I'll be more specific at that. Have you laughed at anyone other than Dave Chappelle?
Yes.
Ooh, you know what? I
know who you're going to say.
I've got
Jerry Seinfeld.
I'll say Jerry Seinfeld. And
you didn't laugh. You did exactly what everyone does when they watch Seinfeld. And I'm sorry, this is the perfect place to bring this up. Right, I'm coming out and saying it. Seinfeld is not as good as Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, shit. Let's pull the cord. Pull the cord.
Ali, come on.
Smoke coming out of the interface.
Yeah, there's smoke coming out of it.
Okay, so the robot disagrees with me.
And for good reason.
And of course, a robot disagrees with me being like, but you don't understand. It's the only human being that's more robotic than me.
I don't believe, this is the second time I've said this, but I am not on that train.
Yeah, that's what he gets offended by.
I'm offended.
Paying outside.
I'll support Jordan.
Thank you.
Everybody loves Raymond.
It's funny. And it's the same episode over and over again, but they just perfected it.
But why do you want to change already perfect?
What do you think that's what Seinfeld is?
It's the AC/DC of comedy.
Seinfeld is. I just said it like him.
That's what Seinfeld is. I mean, come on.
That's the only joke in Seinfeld.
No, look.
It is. Every single time. It's just like, you tucked out your shirt. There was some water in it, Jerry. What was I supposed to? I don't know, but you probably shouldn't have chucked it out.
That's an episode, a scene, probably a season,
just over and over, and then just Kramer just being like, whoa, and then ripping off a button from it and being like, boom, beep, 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 to be continued.
That was better than your last stand-up show. I will see that. I will go to, you will sell out if you do that.
I will, if I'm paying out Seinfeld. This is the thing. It's like saying Snoop Dogg's funny. He's not. It's the same thing with Seinfeld. The idea of Seinfeld is funny.
What about like Jerry Seinfeld in particular?
I love it all.
Was kind of shit, right?
No,
like clearly Kramer and George Costanza were.
Kramer's funny because he's in real life an insane man. Wait a sec, but wait, what about this? We watched comedians getting coffee for like that was like our father son experience. We love that show.
Yeah, because it's the most watchable show on earth.
That's mad.
But it doesn't mean that it's good.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
But I mean, yeah, I guess that's a bad example. But no, look,
Seinfeld's mad. I thought he was trying to make it not funny because like he's not cracking any jokes.
I mean, do you really
want me to? They're just laughing at shit that like I don't understand one thing. So when comedians are hanging out with other comedians, they tend to laugh at shit that's not funny. Trying to make it funny, and that's what Comedian in Car. Have you ever seen that that little 1 hour HBO special of like talking funny with Louis C.K., Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock,
I saw that,
and Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, like, Chris Rock. That's okay.
Maybe 10 minutes of that was funny, but they were laughing for about 40 minutes. Yeah. Basically, it's our podcast.
I don't. Do I like? I feel like trying to defend. I feel like I'm in year six debate.
So sad.
I feel like I'm in year six debate.
He's in this position where he has to defend Seinfeld. Okay, look,
I'll just give you.
Like the entire audience is right now fuming at Bo Jordan.
They don't have the mic.
I'm gonna try to represent.
Yeah, you are as always representing the silent majority.
Yeah. All right, I'll try. Like, there's no point because you're not going to win. You guys,
God, no wonder we're really not in with the zeitgeist, Ali.
Why Muslims get pissed when you joke about Muhammad. It's the same thing as Seinfeld.
Well, yeah, maybe you're right, but look, I'm not gonna be. I'm not a lawyer. It's the aesthetic. It's like the vibe. It's the whole package. It's kind of, what's a good metaphor for it? I can't even think.
I think the metaphor you're searching for is extremely watchable.
Yeah, extremely watchable.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, right, I can't agree with you because, I mean, I agree with you with that, but I can't agree that it's not funny because I go on these like Seinfeld benders, which, and I do it with The Simpsons, so I haven't done it for a long time, but sometimes I have these Seinfeld benders and it's like, it's kind of like retail therapy for men. I actually feel like that's true. Like chicks like, I'm going to go spend money on stupid shit I don't need. Fine, nothing wrong with that. But for men, I think it's binge watching Seinfeld. And I binge watched it probably like last year sometime for like, I don't know, 12 hours. And dude, there was parts where I was laughing out loud hysterically. I'm not lying.
I've watched 6 episodes with you. You didn't laugh once.
Hmm.
That is fact.
Also, you laugh honestly, quite often. You are not that picky about giving shedding a laugh.
Yeah. You are the real life Simpsons joke of, and I'm not easily impressed. Whoa, a blue car.
That's true. That is pretty true.
And you do, as I've stated a million times, track. Look exactly like Homer Simpson.
But I think the fact that it has a laughing track actually makes it less funny too. Because Zizek says a laughing track is interesting because it laughs for you.
Who's so, that? Like the
why did he bring that up?
I don't know. He talks about
is
like
that a newsreader from Al Jazeera? Like who the fuck is
pretty
that?
Much?
Dude, okay, I don't know what's happening.
Every newsreader from Al Jazeera, though, don't you reckon? Like if they had to kill someone to see Slavoj Žižek, they would.
Yeah,
You know what I can say though.
I would like kind of kill to see Slavoj Žižek.
This is one of the things
at least.
This is one of the things we don't agree on. But this is a momentous. and kind of sad moment. I think this is the most you guys have ever offended me. How fucking sad is that?
Can we top it with the next segment, which is...
No, I literally called you a bum lying in a ditch in the last episode.
That's fine. Yeah,
that's a compliment to Seinfeld.
And a
don't
step up.
Don't pay out Seinfeld. I just can't be on that train.
Well, that's, but again, right. Nobody can really defend it to me ever. Like all they ever do is just is look offended
good.
At me.
I think my... Oh yeah, my case that's isn't it. That good. I need.
Did you ever say this to Matt? Because I'm pretty sure...
Yeah, every time. And all he does is just fold his arms and that's his defense.
I think you need a bit more than that.
Maybe a few words might
help. But it's a little.
They invented. I think I've had some good. Come on, it's hard. And instead,
what are you going to say?
They invented a genre, basically.
How did they invent a genre? Are you telling me they invented sitcoms? Is that what you're saying here?
What about Mesh?
I think Cheers was a warm up, and that chick was like,
Cheers was a warm.
Yeah,
dude. What about like Get Smart or? Various other shows from that era.
Yeah, Bewitched. I'd rather
Bewitched.
That show
Bewitched was funny.
Bewitched was mad. Bewitched was not funny.
All those 50s shows are actually really good, and you go back, and the writing is very tight.
No, this
it's
is
a clever this, show, this, and then they and then this show comes along, and then it's basically him talking in a coffee shop for half an hour, and everyone goes, "I do that too."
You know what I think is good
about Seinfeld, and I literally can break it out into two: Jerry Seinfeld. Sucks, which sort of translates to his writing.
I can't.
The other guy, Larry David, he's funny. So the funny bits are probably from Larry David.
Look, this is what this
I
is
don't
what,
know who wrote.
Here we go. The flurry of, but surely you think Curb's good.
I like that show too. Let's not get into that.
Of course you do.
But look, this is what it really comes down to. This is the crux. And this is because, let's be honest, this is what Seinfeld is. I think awkward Jewish people doing awkward shit is funny. Jordan does not. That's what it comes down to.
Jordan doesn't know what he's talking about. Every writer in Hollywood is awkward.
Yeah, and
Jewish
Jordan
man.
Hates Hollywood.
Hey, that is true.
Look, I'm just saying.
I'm sick of exclusive.
Jordan not an is an anti-Semite.
Jordan's pro Hamas.
I am pro Hamas.
Oh Jesus!
And I don't like Jewish comedy. Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I'm an anti-Semite.
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
But like, look,
so contentious.
But honestly, I'm sick of the propaganda of Jewish people telling the rest of society that they're the funniest race on earth. It is clearly black people. They are way funnier.
Well, okay, question.
I'm sorry. Chris Tucker is a way better comedian than Jerry Seinfeld.
I'll pay that. Because his voice is high pitched. Yeah, okay. I'll pay that. But no. I have a question on that. Quickly.
Wait, is George Carlin Jewish?
No.
I don't know, but I have a question.
No, George Carlin's Irish.
I have a question. What about the black guy in Seinfeld that talks like this? The lawyer that talks really fast? You know that guy, the black guy?
From
Seinfeld. He's a black lawyer. It's a
but you know who he's based off? He's based off O.J. Simpson's lawyer.
Oh, Johnny Cochran.
Mad, but he's hilarious. He's a black dude from, like, Seinfeld, like, integrates those kind of characters into the show. It's mainly just
around Jerry Seinfeld being like, I'm the funniest person here. Yeah, if you disqualify George Costanza, Kramer, Elaine, your dad, your mum. Your mum is funnier than you.
I will pay that George's dad is the fucking funniest. Like, it's like, it's called Festivus. Like, dude, are you telling me George Costanza's dad is not funny? He'd be like,
no, that's what I'm saying. They're all talented comedic actors. The cast is impeccable.
My problem with Jerry Seinfeld, we're getting somewhere here. Jerry Seinfeld is such a shit human being that it actually translates into his
work.
How do you know
he's a shit human being?
Clearly. Dude, have you watched comedians in cars getting coffee?
Yeah, but dude, he's not going to make a show called Comedians Giving Out Charity to People in Ethiopia.
No, it's not about charity. That's a great show. It's just the way he behaves.
What do you mean?
You'd see him anywhere outside of his...
No, I'm not friends with him.
He's the most smug man on earth.
It's so obvious.
I don't see that.
You don't see smugness in Jerry Seinfeld. What do you see? Humility?
I don't see smugness. I see like...
What are you talking about?
I just see a funny dude.
He thinks
dude.
He's a king.
You think he's funny?
He talks to people like he's talking to commoners.
He had the highest earning show in the...
Larry David, as a joke, once... And this is Larry David. It's not even a commoner, kind of a joke, right? Just said,
yeah.
Oh, and you had that like sort of successful show.
I saw that. He was like pissed.
But that's fair enough. 50 million is sort of successful. He was like, he was pissed that why was he invited? Like, dude, you can't have that sort of an ego. And I think it shows in his work too.
I disagree. But maybe I'm
how?
I don't know.
What are you disagreeing with? This is the problem. Look, you are doing everything that you hate about SJWs, right?
I know.
You've got no points to counter.
But it's like maybe it's just I don't observe it that way. Like, okay, it's like that's justified when he's had such a successful show with such a high universally loved, such a high income. Like I don't see the negatives here. Like, what?
All right, I'll give you a negative in two words: B movie.
Okay, I think
that's a bad example
because I think the best joke ever written was in that movie.
What was it?
Damn.
Well, I've told you this before. Like, it's the Chris Rock bit where he's playing a mosquito. At the end, he becomes a lawyer, and he's like, "I was already a blood-sucking parasite. All I need was a briefcase."
Yeah.
How is that the best joke ever written?
Buddy, whatever, fuck off.
That's such a Jerry Seinfeld joke.
No, me and Jordan just never see eye to eye this and we never will.
He's just got such a hipster attitude to comedy as well of just being like, I wear sneakers, that's funny, right?
I'm into that too.
But my thing is, I love artificial quirks is not funny.
My problem
he's
is
not laugh out loud funny by any means.
But he is
okay, I'll say one thing, and this I genuinely mean. He might not be the funniest. He's not even that funny, but he is a very skillful writer.
Dude, this is not funny, skillful.
The way he formulates his jokes, they're like it seems very professional. It seems like a guy who's under.
Yeah, I suppose, and also on top of that, he's gotten extremely lazy with his wealth, which I can completely understand. Because if you own a 7-story car park in Manhattan just for your antique cars, maybe you can ease up on writing the jokes.
By
the
way. Yeah, I know, but I guess I perceive people on like general aesthetic and vibes, and he's got like the whole New York thing. Like he represents a. It's not like super original, but like. You could say Woody Allen had the same sort of thing, but like, I like, But the difference is I'm not some auteur of comedy. Maybe I don't think about it as deeply, but for me, it's like, it's great. I think Dave Chappelle is a vibe too. You know what I mean? Like they all each Dave have an aesthetic.
Man, I'm not an auteur of comedy either. I'm just saying. This is how little of an auteur of a comedian I am.
You've read a library.
Come on.
That's true. And I've come to the conclusion after reading that library that nothing is funnier than Jackass 2. And it's true.
Hey, look, we can come together on that. But this is good. We're supposed to disagree.
Like, don't you think, though? Like,
Dave
honestly.
Has a point. Dave Chappelle's old stand-ups, like For What It's Worth or Killing Them Softly, they make you laugh so much. But I mean laugh out loud funny. Jerry Seinfeld has never been able to achieve anywhere close to that.
Yeah.
And even someone Chris Tucker is not considered funnier.
They're both funnier.
By the way, his news, I don't know. This is an intense debate that Jordan and I have. Yeah. His new stand-up is fucking horrible.
Is it really? I haven't seen it.
I thought you were saying it was good because he was still doing Bill Clinton jokes.
No, he's still talking about
Michael. No, that's Chris Tucker.
I'm talking about Chris Tucker.
Oh, I thought he was talking about Chris Tucker. No. I vehemently defend Chris Tucker.
Really?
Vehemently.
Because you know what's funny? I was on Netflix and I was on Netflix and I saw the ad for it and I was like, it was one of those moments of like putting my hands up and like, ooh, I can't wait for that. But I couldn't watch it because I had to go to sleep or something. And like, even in the, even in the ads, you know, that happened. Yeah. Even in the ads, like the preview, he was like, man, Michael Jackson. And I was like, sick.
Sold.
Still
sold.
Talking about Michael Jackson.
You know,
y'all a fan of Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
I am Chris Tucker. Go on.
Chris Tucker doesn't have Chris.
And the best thing is, his joke about Bill Clinton is him just doing an impersonation of Bill Clinton, talking about mundane tasks. There's no joke in his impersonation of Bill Clinton. And on top of that, his impersonation of Bill Clinton D+.
it's not even that good.
But it makes it even better because it's just like it's basically him just trying to go down an octave and not really reaching it, just going down half an octave of him just being like,
Yo, it's the president here.
That's fucking funny.
Dude,
the comedy cream is with black people. Even
Thank you.
Like Patrice O'Neill, that guy will make you laugh so much.
I don't know who that is.
Like, laugh out.
He's basically black fat Bill Burr.
Right.
Yeah.
Look,
and
I can't agree
with Bill Burr.
Look, you know what?
Yeah, and Patrice O'Neill was always saying, man, you ain't going nowhere, Bill. You just ain't funny.
Yeah, and Bill agreed. Bill thinks he's mad. He was like, and Bill agrees that he's way funnier than him.
I mean, look, we'll have to agree.
You feel really dirty after watching Patrice O'Neill.
Dude, because it's like, it's you know what? What he says is dirty and it might be factually incorrect. But he spits some truth bombs, man.
Yeah, a lot. It's true. A lot of the time.
Like, you know what? I also have to, like,
that's the real, this is what the crux of what we're getting down to. I am impressed by people that say really ballsy, true statements on stage in front of thousands of people. I'm impressed by people who have high-pitched voices, and I'm impressed by people that are able to do impersonations well. That's pretty much the classics of comedy. I am not impressed by someone that goes, what's the deal with sneakers having different laces? Where are they all coming from? Are there different laces factories? Just make one set.
I want to pay to your subscription just for that. I love it. You're proving yourself wrong in the example.
No, I'm not, because I'm just doing an impersonation of him.
Exactly. It's mad.
Doing an impersonation of him is mad, but he is
not mad.
You're
picking straws. It's the same thing. I'm sorry. Jordan,
impersonating Bill Clinton is funny. Bill Clinton himself is not funny.
I'm sorry, but you doing an impersonation of Jerry Seinfeld is very similar to Jerry Seinfeld. Look, we'll have to agree to see. We can all come together.
The funniest thing ever is, like, he's right. When a comedian goes out there and says the most ballsy thing that you could ever say.
Yeah, it's cool. That's cool.
Like, even like for like Louis C.K. doing that. I don't know if you like that pedophilia bit on Saturday Night Live. That shit is ballsy. Yeah. Like, you know that. And Jerry Seinfeld is
and his
so
but
afraid.
Maybe segment. Genius.
You know, like, just Jerry Seinfeld had this joke.
That's not my style. I'm not even that into Louis C.K. Like, if someone said, like, top three.
Listen to his new stand-up show before you say that.
Fair enough. But I'd say top three for me is,
you know what's like,
literally, Chappelle, Chris Tucker, and, well, not even Seinfeld. I just like the show Seinfeld. But, like, the best show, I think, okay, and, like, and I actually really like Eddie Murphy's early shit, like, Raw, and I love that shit. But
Not a fan, but keep going.
Okay, well, fuck.
And no. Every time I look at him now, it's always just like, nah, you really shouldn't have been the donkey in Shrek.
What?
Well, I'm not. It looks too much like him.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. But like, my whole, like, that, you know how you guys bought me that DVD, live DVD of Chappelle, like Dave Chappelle Live, and it was like that early
one?
Yeah. That's it for me. I don't need anything else.
Yeah, because it's so fucking comedy good. Gold. Here's another.
Because it's relaxed. I'm not that into comedians that are just like intensely forceful and just like,
hang on a second. Hang on. Are you saying that Dane Cook isn't the best comedian of all time?
Who the fuck is that?
You don't remember Dane Cook?
Is that Dame Edna?
The Backstreet Boys of comedy.
Oh, God.
It was so, like, honestly, people just write to me in the comments. If you're a Patreon subscriber, subscribe to Patreon.
Please.
Get a delightful, every now and then we'll abuse you and then ask for more money. That's the perks of being a patron. But
pinheads.
Yeah, get into the pinhead tier, and the patriot tier is $5 an episode.
Yeah, you guys
pinhead is a dollar.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't pay anything, you just scum. And what was this? You're just freeloading, eh?
It's all right. Thanks for listening.
Still give us money.
Yeah, but it'd be nice. It does help. We can have more content for you.
And more food in our belly.
Mm. But go on. What were you saying? Dame Edna?
Dane Cook.
I don't know who that is, but the majority of people on the comedy channel on Foxtel should be just straight to the gulags.
Yep.
So,
yeah, most of them.
Like,
but even Jerry Seinfeld, the fact that
he created observational humor.
He didn't.
He is such a pussy.
I'm sick of him. People saying that as well.
An example. So he made a joke about, I think the joke was something like,
It's funny, dude. Yeah, go on.
They're making a
his voice isn't funny. You're saying his voice is not funny. Go on.
Seinfeld. No, I'm saying that his impersonation of Seinfeld is funny.
They're making a theme park in Harlem, and it's the only theme park where the roller coaster is the most scary point when it's at the bottom. But instead of saying it's funny. But instead of saying the hood, which was his initial joke, he changed it to a ghetto. Because he thought he was going to offend a few people by saying hood. Right. A comedian can't be that
pushy. Are you sure?
Yeah, he said it.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, it doesn't really... cool. I mean, I don't think every comedian has to be like Bill Hicks being like, you know who I hate? Advertisers. And it's like, that's cool too, but I don't think there should be an obligation.
Yeah, but that's the problem with Bill Hicks. He's cool. He's not funny.
Well, I like him too. Look, this is not my area of expertise.
You do?
Yeah, I like Bill Hicks.
This is a new revelation to me.
You don't think I like Bill Hicks? I thought you liked him too.
I thought you were an anti-fan, but no. There you go. You learn something new every day.
Wait a
second. We will be learning who has the best nipples.
Oh, here we go.
Oh,
here's the real comedy.
I thought you guys have forgotten about
Here's the real comedy.
Yeah, you were hoping. That's why you kept this conversation going, wasn't it, Ali?
The nipple, because we might not be able to come back from that. What do you think?
Nah, I reckon we should keep.
We still have a lot of time to go.
We're doing it now.
All right, so
we're doing a beauty contest. Who has the most appealing nipples out of us three? And whoever has the most appealing nipples, for the sheer prize that God has bestowed upon them, they get to put their finger in some water. Or like we don't even have that, so we're just gonna have to use used tea.
Yep.
And then we get to rub the nipples of the person who has the worst.
And any
that we're aesthetically judging. And so really what you're aiming for here is to not have the best nipples or the worst.
Yeah.
And any
you just wanna have average nipples.
And any
all right, what about the person with the best nipples wins, and then the person with the second best nipples gets to rub the person with the worst nipples.
And any lingering...
No, I think the best nipple guy gets to rub it. Killing it.
Right. And any lingering questions...
Yeah, some punishment for once.
Yeah, and there's more substance coming after, so please don't go away.
And any lingering questions...
We're really going on to who has the best anus.
And the winner gets to finger the...
And any lingering...
You think Jerry Seinfeld's good.
Any lingering questions of our homosexuality have just been... confirmed, so let's do it.
You know what Jerry Seinfeld will go, no, absolutely not. I'm not doing this. This
See?
Is too much.
Yeah, whereas but dude, not every comedian whereas, like, wants Louis to be C.K. touched would be sexually by another man on the nipples. That doesn't mean
you're
funny.
Not a comedian.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I disagree.
The only thing important for a comedian should be to get a laugh.
Nah, I don't like the, it's like that's like this like group, this like it's like it's like group think like analysis.
Show me your nipple. Shut the fuck up.
I don't know.
No. Keep going. I just want to hear this point.
I think it's like the same thing of being like, you can only be communism if you do this, this, this. You can only be this. It's like, no, you can be two of those things. There's no rule book to being a good comedian. There's no rule book to being a good musician.
There's one rule.
No, there's rules, but like you don't have to tick every box just because Jerry Seinfeld doesn't want to be touched. Like, and also, like, what if the guy who's interviewing him is doing
I'm telling
lame?
You, I'm telling you right
you know
now.
I mean? You can judge those scenarios.
Bill Burr would do it.
You don't know that.
I don't know that, but he wouldn't.
He'd be like, I'm not doing that. Nah, that's kind of gay, man. That's kind of gay. He wouldn't do
it. All right. But he'd make a joke out of it as opposed to Jerry Seinfeld that'd go, no, I'm not doing it. Where's the security in this thing?
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
Bill Burr wouldn't get pissed. Bill Burr would be like,
I'm not going to do that.
Look, I think the barrage of hate you guys are going to cop for this is plenty enough for me.
I'm ready for it.
That's why you're in on it. All right, let's go. Yeah. Who's taking off this shirt first?
I'm just lifting this bad boy up.
All right, let's just all lift and then look.
So
I wish we just did it one at a time instead of all of this. Whoa. Jesus Christ, Ali. I haven't even looked at Miss Loves. I think you've lost.
Fuck.
Yeah, what is that? It's a frisbee. It's not a nipple. Fuck, you did. You had breast implants?
Talking about comedy.
I don't want to touch that. I don't want the best nipples. Oh, please, God.
I've already seen Jordan's and
Miss Love has better nipples than me.
I'm going to say. Jordan does.
No, he does. Stop lying. Stop lying to the
pit. He has a better.
I get to make a decision.
Come on, Ali. Look
at the best.
You pass.
It sucks shit. And it's your game.
I don't want to play anymore.
It's not so fun when you're at the winner, are you? Yeah.
It's chili roulette all over again.
Mike, you bastard. I did not believe in karma until now.
My nipples are thirsty.
All right, witting fingers.
I can't watch this.
He's currently lifting up his shirt. I saw it!
Oh, come on. I want dead tea on my
dude,
nipple.
This is like Moby Dick, how it's supposed to be like four times the size of a normal whale. All right, coming in close. Jesus, the closer you get, the scarier it is.
Hey, shut all the right, fuck up. It. I have feelings too.
Oh, the round, the surrounded part. Ali, I'm asking you this in all seriousness. Is your dad a gorilla? Are you adopted? Because honestly, why are they so leathery?
Hey man, only the lucky ones.
I mean, look, I understand.
There.
Like, I shouldn't have won that. That was just pure bias judging from Ali. No, that was just trying to. It was payback from before. I have chicken nipples. They just look like little bits of chicken skin. Miss Love has normal nipples. Look at that. That is a very attractive nipple.
Show me yours again, sorry.
Yeah, you didn't even look.
Can you believe it? Look, all I know is that was a beautiful moment. You're not going to get this anywhere else.
Yeah, I think Miss Loves are probably better. But you got so freaked out that obviously you had to touch mine.
Damn. No, I think Jordans are better. I don't know.
Nah, they look like I've got permanent chicken pox in two places.
They're very small.
Little pimple nipples.
Clearly mine. Yeah.
What nipples are supposed to be.
Mine's kind of in the middle, I guess, but I'm just very glad that happened.
I mean, we've all got our pluses and minuses.
Dude.
Like, Ali's got, like, a really... Like, he's got sick fucking hair on his beard. That's a starter. I think that he's just got, like, a nice even tone of skin. That's all fine. His nipples look like they're something out of Chernobyl. But, like, dude, Miss Love's nipples are killing it. I've got to say. Like, they're 10 out of 10.
Thanks, man. Well, I'm actually really
glad.
That's
a beautiful teat. And if it was one of those things on the internet, it was close up and it was just like, do you think this is hot? I'd take yes. And then zoom out and it's Miss Love.
Back when the internet had purpose in 2001. Look,
that was very satisfying.
I think I've finally
gotten back at you for the chili roulette.
More than enough. I owe you now, Ali. That was
fucking gold, dude. I just can't. That was so good. My stomach hurts from laughter. Jordan knows how to come up with the goods, and I think karma might be real. I think if there is some sort of
That was amazing.
Karma, we have proven something profound on the pod. So anybody who's sitting there saying that what I said was sacrilegious about Jerry Seinfeld, first of all, forgive me, Koshy, for I have sinned, as we will be reading number 4 of his 101 Ways to Survive 2009. He's got the exact same voice as Jerry Seinfeld. He just grew up in Adelaide.
And I'm pretty sure he's Jewish too. He is Jerry. Yeah, he's George.
He's George Costanza. He just went on Sunrise afterwards. People say that, like, there's a Seinfeld curse. No, he went higher.
Koshy's getting very upset.
What does he get really upset by, though?
I can't remember. Fuck, what does he get upset by?
Just, like, very random things.
No, he gets upset by just being...
Streaking in a game. I think that's it. And he'd be like, oh, there's kids watching. It's just, you think you're being very cool, but you're not the first person to do it.
Yeah. No, he'd be very...
You're fucking killing it with Josh's accent now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right.
Number 4. Cut up credit cards. These have to be the Ned Kellys of the financial world.
Shit.
What?
Wow. All right.
What?
Official interest rates have been slashed by the Reserve Bank to try and stimulate the economy, and some of those savings have been passed on by the banks through lower home loan rates. Mind you, the banks have kept a bit for themselves along the way and not passed on the full rate cuts. Credit card interest rates, however, have been hardly touched. Virtually none of the official rate cuts have been passed through to credit cards, which are still external levels. The bank says that's because credit card balances are unsecured. Not secured against your home, mind you. They are entitled to charge a higher interest rate. And that is number 4 tip. In Koshy's 101 Ways to Survive 2009, just as relevant as it ever was.
This is pretty good, even though it's basically advice I could get from my mum, but it is good.
But without the swimmer crabs.
Yeah, with no blue swimmer crabs.
No blue swimmer crabs. And would your mum describe a credit card as the Ned Kellys of the financial world?
No, that's a little gem. That's gold. That's a little gem.
He's a funny man.
Yeah, that's a little gem.
He's written 5 joke books, Ali. And you're saying that Jerry Seinfeld is funny.
Jesus.
George Costanza, who's funny.
He is Jerry Seinfeld, funny voiced Jewish dude.
He looks like if George Costanza and Jerry Seinfeld had a baby.
He does.
Yeah. Koshy would be that.
He's the
Everyone thinks he's 62. He's actually 15.
Such a good man. Look, readings in the Bible always enlighten all who dwell within the spiritual realm, and every week we dwell in that realm now and are all the better for it.
I do feel like I've gone to church after it, and it is amazing. You do have the same sound that you have leaving a mosque / cathedral,
Like a solemn sort of humbleness, which is really the point of religion, let's be honest. It's to be humble.
It's funny. It's a really good book.
Dude, I hope that we get... I hope I get that $10,000.
For those of you who don't know what he's referring to,
the tagline for 101 Ways to Survive 2009 by David Koshy is, this book can save you $10,000.
And the best word is can.
What a prize.
Not will.
Yeah, not will, can. It can save you a third of a new car.
Yes, a third of a Ford Laser. Hurrah. Oh, no, that was great. Right. I think, one Australian icon to the next.
We're going to have to do it.
May I ask you, Ali, what would you say is the more sexy Love Island host equivalent of Koshy in Australia? A test.
What member of Love Island is better than David Koch?
No. What?
The answer to that is none. But keep going.
What D grade? What D grade?
None of them have a better body.
What D grade Australian celebrity equivalent of Koshy exists? It's a tough one. You're not going to really know. Well, I'm trying to allude to the next segment.
Hey, okay. Well, it's the guy in that picture.
Yeah, he got it. Andrew G. I don't give a shit what he calls himself. It's Andrew G.
What? He's a handsome man.
He's a handsome man. He also, I assume, is not too bright.
Well,
see,
obviously.
There's only one man that hates Andrew G.
And it's
more than you
guy.
In the world, and it's Kyle Sanderlands. You really have it in for Gunsberg.
Can you at least before?
So can you tell us why? Because honestly, when I see this guy, I just see another man trying to get by in the workaday world.
he's Jerry Seinfeld.
Before you say why, I need a brief introduction of this man. How the fuck does the world know him?
He started.
When I say world, I mean
Bondo. He started on Channel V. Where he was actually kind of all right. We used to wear sandals and have long hair. And now he hosts Love Island. And he used to host some other bullshit show.
Oh, this is the guy who hosts Love Island.
And that's pretty much all his achievements. His name's Andrew G, but because he's a hipster and it's a bit passe to associate yourself as being Australian. You have to be some exotic other. If God forbid you fucking embrace the culture you were born in. So he's just pretending to be Swedish. So he's like, my name's Oshi de Godoish de Doish. It's like, dude, no. That's him.
All right. Sounds
is that
like
right? Is that fair?
Like
yeah, pretty much. Man. And on top of that, I'm sick of you having trendy haircuts. Go back to that haircut that you had in 2004.
Hair down to your ass.
Huh?
He had like hair down to his ass.
Hair down to his ass. Just looked like one of the characters in the PlayStation game that I'm sure no one has played except for me, Speed Freaks. And he is a speed freak. He is a junkie.
Is he actually?
No, recovering junkie.
Is he really?
Which you don't look at when you look at this man's face, do you? You see somebody who's eaten nothing but salmon bagels his whole life.
6 weeks sober, bro.
What was
you?
No, not me.
What was he high on? What was he high on?
Oh, you name it.
Really?
The cocktail surprise. Pretty much everything our Norwegian friend has taken, our Swedish friend Gunsberg here has also taken.
Oh, that reminds me. Sorry. This guy has been like asking me before you get into this. There's this dude who got caught in a drug syndicate, this Norwegian man.
Yeah.
And one of the fans has been like asking me, is this the same guy? Please tell me. And he's asked me like 3 or 4 times.
It could be.
I haven't seen the news story, but I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say unequivocally yes.
But like, tell him for real. It's not him.
It's probably not.
Why isn't it for real him? I don't know.
It could have been.
You don't know what your Norwegian...
We haven't.
Yeah, and if I had to hazard a guess, I would say, yeah, it's him.
Actually, it might be him.
All right. Well, I think his name was also different.
Well, I haven't seen him for ages.
It's not him. Just...
He could have changed his name.
Call the police now.
Okay, fine. All right, whatever. Go on.
Let me just ask that guy, did he have dreads? I'll wait. Let's just keep this podcast going in silence until he answers.
Call up the pod. Come on, call. It's lunacy. I don't know.
On 1300 psych. Now, let's move on. For more classic zingers from The Beast magazine.
But aren't we playing Is This Annoying? Is that right? Was that the game?
No, it's... Can we convince you, Miss Love, to like Osher Gunsberg a little bit more? So if you had to give him a rating out of 10, what would you give him at the moment?
Now? 2.
I knew it was going to be a 2. 1 is way too low.
Yeah,
1 is Pol Pot.
Hey, Pol Pot is
and that's
one.
About right.
Pol Pot's at least a 9.
On your Richter scale, of course.
Jesus.
So, yeah, on Ali's Richter scale, murderous. That means that Osher Gunsberg's at a 10. So he can only lose points in Ali's eyes, but he can pretty much only gain points in this life. So we're just going to take out a question from the hardest hitting magazine in Australia. It really is the BBC hard talk of this country. The Beast, which is only distributed in the eastern suburbs, and at that, only half of the eastern suburbs.
Who prints this shit?
That's a really good question, and I think it's this restaurant that sells dollar oysters on Thursdays.
And I'm back in. I'm sold. I love oysters.
So the question that they've asked, and they just go straight for the gullet here, is James Matheson, who nobody knows, he's the guy that used to host Australian Idol with Osher Gunsberg for probably about 10 years until they realized, hang on, why do we have 2 of these? And then they fired that guy. And then they just kept Gunsberg because he's clearly hotter.
He's clearly. And then the other one,
he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
He does look like one of those goldfish.
He also, how good's this? As a quick side note, ran against Tony Abbott to contest his seat in St. Ives 2 years ago.
Which is what this question's about.
Oh, awesome.
So it goes, James Matheson ran against Tony Abbott for the seat of Warringah in the last federal election. If you lived in that election, who would you have voted for? It's a pretty personal question.
Yeah. God,
this actually is the BBC Hard Talk of Australia. That's actually going straight in. Yeah.
Why do you get to say it's personal? You do that for a living. You're like, who are you voting for? Wrong answer, Labour.
Yeah, fair call. Steamroll them into action.
I don't ask them who they're voting for. I say vote for.
Exactly.
No. And
as you should.
What?
You tell them. As if you ask them.
What?
It's the right thing. By the way, I've convinced someone to vote for Jeremy Corbyn too. Oh, wait, sorry, I misheard you. Go on, talk to me. Tell me about this degrade.
What are you talking about?
I think...
Ali, just answer me this before we go into this question. Do you have dementia?
He's got dementia at 20. How old are you?
I don't know, probably 15. Anyway.
15.
Because he's immature.
Yeah, he's immature. He doesn't like Jerry Seinfeld. Go on.
All right. He says, well, I handed out flyers for Jimmy.
Oh.
What's wild is I think Tony only won with about 55,000 votes, which, let's be honest, that is a landslide.
That's a huge
only 55,000 votes.
A bit of a yeah.
Think about this. The Labour Party lost the last election by 30,000 votes.
Yeah, that's a huge margin.
It in one seat. I was getting neck and neck there for a minute.
Fucking idiot.
When they counted eight votes, he had two of the votes.
Yeah, that's where this isn't Delhi. Like, the margins aren't that big.
Yeah, he doesn't know what margins are because he's a junkie, right?
But I think he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in getting them. I think Jimmy's team spent about $5,000 on his campaign. Okay, I'm sorry. He's saying it's close here, and then he says that James Matheson got 11,000 votes. He may as well have not have run.
Shit.
Yeah, he won by 55,000, and James got 11,000. Huh. This makes no sense. He doesn't know.
This says a lot about Gunsberg, this next line. You ready for this?
Can we call him Andrew G? You have to
refer him. Andrew G. Yeah. But this says so much about him. God. Birds of a feather, eh? Listen to this. James is the smartest man I've ever met.
All right.
Goldfish head
is his Noam Chomsky. His Noam Chomsky is a goldfish.
Who I guarantee you has shelved pingers in his ass before.
Fuck. Well, hasn't Chomsky.
Yeah, well, true.
He reads a book a week.
Is that what?
How is this man famous?
Wait.
Okay, sorry, we have to say those two sentences in quick succession.
Yeah, you really do, because I missed that.
James is the smartest man I've ever met. He reads a book a week.
I mean, that is good in my perspective to me, but...
Yeah, but not exactly.
But you read like a few
Book a year.
A book a year.
And that's compared to a book a week compared to like the smartest people in the country. He's a simpleton, yeah.
Yeah, no, clearly.
Go on.
He's so elegant. He's so eloquent.
Oh,
the
he's,
irony. If you want some fun, search on YouTube for when Andrew Bolt tried to have a go at him.
Ooh, I will actually.
Ooh,
I will. Oh, thanks, Andrew G. I will do that.
And he took him apart like a Lego model, piece by piece.
I will have to decide.
We're going to have to decide that. Yeah. I think we're just going to have to do a lot.
Yeah, we'll have to do that live.
Have to check that out.
You should get onto that.
Google that shit, Ali.
Hey, fuck. Okay.
All right, we don't actually know how this technology works too well, and I constantly need to see those little green bars going beep, 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 beep. Otherwise, I won't. So we'll do it another time.
We'll do it another time. We'll care about
that.
We'll
do it next time.
Yeah, next time.
Bolt was trying his old tricks, and James was like, no, Andrew, that's not what's happening. He was so good.
Oh, my. Well, that too is gone.
And then on top of this, once I listened to Andrew G's podcast because of the – ancients of this podcast, he who shall not be named, was once obsessed with Andrew G.
For the wrong reasons or the right reasons? Both.
Who are we talking about?
At the end of the day, it's that Voldemort question. Do the ends justify the means? Yeah. And the answer is no, maybe. Not in this situation. Right. But anyway, so I was listening to a bit of his podcast, and then he just goes,
you know, I had this profound thought the other day. There's four things that human beings all do. They live. They poo Oof. They eat and then they die. That's like what everyone on the planet does, right? But like no one ever talks about dying and we don't talk about pooping much.
Oh.
So this guy's
he's 45.
So the answer is he's a 10 out of 10 for me. I like him a lot now. I think that Andrew G is my rating has not budged. I've not been not better or worse. He's exactly what I thought he was.
Okay, so a 10 for me, 2 for Miss Love.
Mystery mark. Yeah.
So below 3. Yeah. Somewhere in there.
Right.
This is sad that this used to be a comedy political podcast. The politics is gone, which I'm fine with, but I thought there was
no. What are you talking about? This was all about
the comedy is gone too.
How dare you? Did you just slander
Anton to the question that was?
Did you not hear the question? Oh. And also, you're slandering one of our D grades, don't you? I don't go to Pakistan and pay out that midget doorman at Pizza Hut,
and you won't on this podcast either. That's way more sacrilegious than making fun of the Gushmash.
Well, look, I want some. Let's get into Afghanistan. I want to hear something.
Yeah, I'm ready to laugh.
Come on, I'm ready.
Let's
to
go.
Laugh.
There's been too much sadness on this podcast. I had to touch Ali's nipple.
What's the deal with the flatbread
being so flat over there? It's already flat. Just call it bread.
It's not flat, though.
There are so many terrorists there that they're just called people. What's going on? Are the people terrorists?
That's mad. That's gold. Dude, once again,
damn, you're always losing it. Yes. It's Jerry Seinfeld's classics.
That's so good.
Well, the people.
The terrorists are called people. The people are called terrorists.
Can you just do an hour of doing that of Jerry? I'll just laugh. Yeah, I'll pay for that.
Are you making up these jokes?
Yes.
Yeah, as it go along.
You should write
it. If I was in Afghanistan, I'd hope to God that Afghan rugs were magic carpets and I'd fly right up.
That's fucking gold, dude. You're channeling him right now. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, dude, you are. Holy yeah, shit. You're doing all right at the moment.
I live to give.
What's going on in that shit fight of a country?
Dude, peace. Things are getting better.
That's damn. Is it, Isaac Butterfield's dream came true. There is peace in the Middle East.
Is it because America's pulling out?
No, because of that. You just want to give Trump credit for something, don't you?
Hell yeah, I do. Build that wall.
It's all getting better, but there's a ray of hope.
1 second before you get into that. Is Trump actually pulling out of Afghanistan?
No. So he says that he wants to pull out of Afghanistan, but like the people under him are like, nah, that's not really happening. Don't worry.
Shit.
Well, it's gonna like a little sabotage the peace process a little bit for the first time. So like the reason I want to talk about Afghanistan is there might be a settlement, which means that we might be able to close the chapter.
Wow.
After pretty much late 70s since the Soviets invaded.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
So what's happening is, because Afghanistan is important for, it's the wedge, it used to be the wedge between the British Empire and the Russian Empire. And everyone wanted to control it because they thought that whoever controls Afghanistan will basically have access into the other person's empire.
Yeah. It's like that middle ground.
Yeah, it's the middle ground. And it's also supposed to be mineral rich and everything. But that's
mad. On a pirate's map, it'd be no man's land.
Totally. Dude, that's all the Middle East. That's pretty much all the Middle East, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess.
It's just a big desert. It might as well just be a big white line.
So,
so mean.
So after the 90s, well, so there was the Soviets had invaded Afghanistan,
it was the front for the Cold War, right? It was the tactical strategic.
So basically, the Western forces trained what were then known as the Mujahideens, who Ronald Reagan said that are the moral equivalents of the founding fathers of the U.S.
Whoa.
Who said that?
Ronald Reagan. It was a quote. These are the same people that became the Taliban.
Yeah, that's so retarded. Isn't that insane? It's just
even Rambo went there.
How right is it?
Remember Rambo 3? Rambo 3 was fighting alongside the Taliban to fight the Russian. And at the end of the movie, if you ever watch it,
I have seen it. I have seen
this movie is dedicated to the brave fighters.
No way.
It's true. Crap. So like, this is how things change.
Why did every one of Sylvester Stallone's franchises just delve into anti-Soviet propaganda at about like number three?
It was the time.
But why was it always number three?
James Bond was the same. A lot of James Bond was James about the Cold War.
Alongside the Taliban against the Russians as well.
There you go.
That's bizarre.
But actually, did you know that James Bond is just propaganda for the MI6?
Yeah,
that's all it ever was. That's why it was set up.
Yeah, but obviously, but like, it works. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I was surprised when I heard that. But there you go,
dude. It's so obvious. It makes the MI6 look like sleek, cool. Extremely relevant.
They're not?
Well,
they're all right.
I'm sure they do have some pretty sick gadgets.
They're as relevant.
No, they do. But
they're
like,
as relevant as the CIA.
Including Go-Go Gadget Helicopter.
They're as relevant as the CIA, but you could definitely argue the CIA could do with some, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know what the technical term is, but like cleaning out. I don't know what the term is.
Cleaning
like,
out?
Yeah, like... A royal commission into the CIA. You know, I don't know about the MI6.
No, the CIA is very strong. MI6
I know
is
it's
all
strong.
Right.
I'm just saying, like,
no, this is always the conspiracy theory. But Noam Chomsky destroys.
What did he say? They're corrupt. That's what I'm saying.
No, what he's saying is that everybody always points to the CIA being this rogue institution in the government. But what people forget is they are the government.
Right.
It is just used as a fallout by the president for any negative press because nobody knows the name of the CIA director.
Well, that's probably true too. Yeah.
Well, probably. And they're all in Afghanistan. Everyone.
Who's all
CIA,
in Afghanistan?
Yeah. MI6, RAW, Mossad. Right.
Just like
ISI.
You're in this room now, man.
ASIO? No.
ASIO's up there.
ASIO's just
hitting all the bats.
Sam,
they're killing it.
There's one
keeping
guy
keeping tabs
called,
on the North Star Alliance.
Yeah, there's one guy called Terry there.
Yeah,
actually, I met one of those guys
really?
The other day.
A dude from ASIO.
I was petrified. He's like the. ASIO. I finally met the guy who was bad for the army. So I met this. Well, I'll quickly tell. So I was at this pub and I met this guy and I was like, "Oh, so what do you do for a living?" He's like, "I can't tell you." I was like, "Well, you." Shut the fuck up. You've got to tell me now. You can't just say I can't tell
you.
And then apparently he was saying like he used to be in the army and then he was a counter-terrorist operative who was stationed in Afghanistan, blah, 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 different places. And he was just like...
Damn, are you sure you just weren't playing Counter-Strike?
Metal Gear Solid.
You know what he was saying? He was like, he was shitting on the army and Miss Love would love this. Do you know why he thinks that the army is going... So he was saying that he eventually they had let him go. And he was saying that the reason why they let him go is because they don't like non-PC guys.
Non-PC.
The army?
The army.
What?
Is there anyone in the army that is PC?
Well.
I mean, let's be honest. No, Jackie Lambie was out of there, but I suppose she's not a person. She's an ashtray that can talk.
No. But you know what? This is the. These are. And I asked him about this guy, this general. So I was saying, like, so he was saying, like, oh, they always get rid of the people that are good and, like, non PC and they keep the PC people. So I was like, so all the generals, they're full of shit. He's like, yeah, they're all full of shit.
Really?
And.
Well, that's happening more and more in.
And then
America.
he was saying, like, how. So I was talking to him about the general who launched an inquiry. It was also covered by the ABC. Jordan, I don't know if you're... Well, you would know because you fucked the ABC, right? But like ABC did a story about how...
I am ASIO to the ABC. I sit there all day just tapping into it.
Yeah, you're just media watch.
Like honestly, I'm pretty sure the people on ABC 24 like us. Well, not right now, but like how most of our life when we're doing a shit, don't think that anyone's watching, but there is like some Chinese spies looking at us just being like, okay, we'll just get in the center and try and smell it with robotically. And there was some corn in there. That's what they're doing there. I'm pretty sure that's the same thing. I'm pretty sure the people on ABC 24 don't know they're being filmed because they can't be. It's just so amateur, but I'm watching.
That's amazing.
Yeah, sorry.
That makes me really happy. I feel like that's like Watchmen, you know, it's like, but who watches the Watchmen? Like that's, like the superheroes, that's you watching the ABC. Like I sleep well at night knowing you're watching that Media Watch guy being like, fuck, you're annoying.
I'm not even kidding.
Well, okay, I got.
I know you're not. Dude. I know that gives you peace.
It does, dude. It really does. But you go on.
So this guy was basically. So the ABC covered a story about like these soldiers who were doing kill counts.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's a kill count?
Kill count is
kill
count.
So how many?
It's basically like so. They were counting on how many people they've killed while in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And there were reports that they were also killing civilians and shit. So that was being investigated. And this
just run up their numbers.
Yeah. Well, whoa. Not to run up, not on purpose, but like, well, who knows? They never released the information from the investigation, but they're saying like they didn't care as long as the kill counts were going up. It was just a game that some of the operatives were playing. So this guy who I met was shitting on the general who basically was saying that there's a problem with the culture and was had ordered an investigation. And this guy who I met was saying that this should have been dealt internally, and that's what he meant when he's saying they're getting rid of all the non-PC people. Right. He looked like a tough guy. Like you don't want
to.
Yeah,
that seems like
a
bureaucrat thing to do, doesn't it?
Well, it's a good. It's
like,
good
for, he swore, so yeah. He probably did kill civilians.
Yeah, it's good.
I met another person who used to be in the army, and he kept convincing me to join the army. And after like maybe a month of him convincing me, I told him, "Dude, I am not fucking cut out for the army. Like you've got the wrong person." And then he was like, "No, no, no. I know that. That's why I want you to join the army because." Most of the people that join the army are trigger happy dudes or are in it just for the thrill of it and they never get promoted. The people that end up getting promoted are usually the smart people and people that aren't that trigger happy and actually have the ethical courage to display that moral ethics in the battlefield. And so basically, so this guy who I met is the opposite of that. The guy who got let go because he was too trigger happy.
Oh, right. Oh, well, that's not, I wouldn't say that's not being PC.
but he was also saying like, I got into trouble while I was in the army because I deal with like really intense shit. Like he wasn't telling me properly, but I think he was like an explosive dude or some sort of guy who was dealing with explosives. And he was saying like, at that time, I don't have patience to like be nice to you. I will tell you to fuck off if you're not doing something right. So basically, I think
he got fired for being Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, I think he got fired for being
Gordon Ramsay. And he's good at his job.
Dude, you have to be like that. If you're a bombs expert looking for bombs and like fucking disconnecting them, and like I think that's the definition of like, I don't know, the most stressful situation ever. Anyone could be.
No, I can't believe some bureaucrat fired him for just being like, hey, don't swear. Do you have to use the C bomb?
There's
already enough bombs around.
I don't know what. So
true as to what they'd say too.
We don't know what happened, right. but one of the funny things he told me was like he jumped off an airplane to land in Afghanistan and he ripped open his scrotum.
He ripped open his scrotum.
That doesn't happen in Mission Impossible. That doesn't happen in James Bond. It doesn't rip.
Yeah, that's American Rosso story that you just call in. Like, I was jumping on the trampoline once in Nashville.
Coming back to Afghanistan. So what's happened now is, so after pretty much after 9/11, when Americans and the NATO forces invaded Afghanistan, they sided with an opposing faction that was willing to fight with the Taliban. And their idea was that we'll just get rid of the Taliban. We'll kill them eventually. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. And the fight has been continuing ever since. Mm. They've reached a stalemate. And finally, and the Taliban had this saying, which was like, I don't know even if that makes sense. But they say that like the Americans have watches, but we've got the time.
That's kind of cool, actually.
That's a cool phrase.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's actually really cool.
That you've got all the money. We can't take over you. But eventually, this is where we live.
Yeah,
and
this is
you're
patience.
Gonna have to fuck off eventually.
Yeah,
and you're on a clock. I'm not.
Yeah, it's true.
So. Try as much as you want to. And that was what the stalemate was for.
Yeah.
Eventually, when Obama came in, that's why he, you know how they say Obama increased the number of Marines stationed in Afghanistan. That was an attempt to put more pressure and eventually defeat the Taliban. Uh-huh. That's what he.
Would you have done that happen. As president, Ali?
Well, in hindsight, fuck no, because it didn't work.
But at the time, would you have done it?
Maybe. It's hard to know because I probably. Would have done what they're trying to do now, which is pulling out. Will who knows what's going to happen? So if you pull out, it will make things even worse. They'll go back into. So what you really want is a peace settlement,
yeah,
between the different factions. And when I say like on the surface, the factions are within Afghanistan. But when I mean a peace settlement, it's a much more complicated process because it's not only the forces fighting within Afghanistan, it's the all proxies. Of the proxy countries. So you've got India, you've got Pakistan, you've got Russia, you've got China, you've got US, you've got Iran. And they all need to come with some sort. So the peace settlement might make some other losers and some other winners, right? But the good thing is that all of these parties, within Afghanistan or outside of Afghanistan, have come to this conclusion that some sort of peace settlement needs to be agreed upon because there's no end to this otherwise.
And you bagged Trump. Clinton would have
been worse. You did bag Trump. We've got evidence of it.
Clinton would have been worse. Come on. You know that Clinton would be like, no deal. No deal at all.
But it's not just about Trump. It's also like what situation the current conflict's in.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, so the breakthrough is that the Taliban, the U.S. has been trying to convince for some time, even during the end of Obama years, to come up with a peace settlement, weren't too keen on it because they're like, well, why would I make a settlement with you when I know that you're on the clock and you're eventually going to fuck off and then I'll take over the whole thing.
But what's changed?
What's changed is that all parties have realized that they're not going to be able to get everything and war is probably not the best solution. So what they're doing is they're all willing to... The Taliban for the longest time said, okay, we'll do a settlement, but with US, not with the Afghan government.
Right.
The current Afghan government.
Uh-huh. Why not?
Because they hate them. That's who they're fighting for. And they're like, well, let me just deal with your bosses.
Don't deal with their own governments.
Like, they're like, why would I deal with these guys? Fuck these guys. I'll deal with your boss and then I'll come up with a deal settlement with them. Undermining the current Afghan government.
But the U.S. are going to move out eventually anyway.
Well, the U.S. is doing that, but they're not going to move out without the Afghan government having any representation. They want to secure their own interests too.
Mm.
And so now
the Taliban is saying they're willing to talk to the Afghan government. And there have been peace talks that have been going on. There was this quadrilateral talk, which was between... The Taliban and the Afghan government, which was brokered by China and the US, that ended, and then there was no conclusive result from it, but it got the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And now there's full-fledged peace talks that are happening between the Afghan Taliban and the Afghan government, which is aided by all of the proxies, except I think India is a little bit silent on it, but that's because Pakistan has said... America was constantly pressurizing Pakistan to help them defeat the Taliban. And Pakistan, for the longest time, their argument was, which was also a very rational argument, they're like, look, here's the thing. You're not going to be able to defeat them. You have been trying to do it for very long. If I help you, I'm going to lose all my chips because once you eventually fuck off, like you did in the 80s, these guys are going to come back and they're going to hate us and they'll attack us.
Yeah.
So what we can do for you is we can facilitate talks for you using our leverage.
It's fair.
But we are not going to do what you ask us to do. And so now the US is like, all right, motherfucker, you've been saying this for so long, facilitate this shit now.
Yeah.
And now the Pakistani government is trying really hard to actually facilitate the talks. That doesn't mean that they're 100%.
And what would a peaceful, successful result look like?
A successful result would look like... So there's
all the proxies are on the same level. They all chill out.
The proxies will still back the... So, for example, like the Pakistani government will back the Taliban. Indian government would back...
Does the Pakistani officially back the Taliban?
Not officially, but in the 90s they did.
Yeah,
the Taliban, they don't... What the Pakistanis don't really care about the Taliban or Afghanistan. What they're afraid of is that opening a two-war front, which is that they've got India on the eastern border, who is their arch enemy. They're the ones who they want, they don't trust. And they're like, if we let go of Afghanistan, then Indian-backed proxies within Afghanistan are going to take control. So they'll squeeze us from the eastern border and the western border.
So, okay, I get you.
So they're saying like, we need to have someone who can provide some sort of resistance. And that's why they keep the Taliban. So just in case India tries to attack them, they can push them.
Yeah,
but both fronts are not open. So now the Pakistani government is helping US. And what a settlement would look like? Look, it's anyone's guess, but I think it will most likely be a power sharing within the government. So let's say the president. So they recently, so Afghanistan recently came up with a new position, which was a president and a vice president. So perhaps the president would be Taliban initially, because obviously they're the key stakeholders, and the vice president would be Afghan Taliban and might switch over, which means that, look, they, you both run this place together and make money or whatever. Just keep, just don't fight with each other.
Ali,
keep,
what's your position on the Taliban?
Asia's listening.
Are you a terrorist or a patriot?
The Taliban are fucked.
Answer carefully.
The Taliban are fucked. Like, there's all... Okay, so here's the thing.
So
what's the most...
It's a threat.
What's the most important thing for any human being? What do you think is, like, the
pizza.
Most...
Pizza.
He's got it. He's got it.
Close. It's peace. Which
that's what I said.
Ali, you've had enough time being the foreign expert of this podcast. We're giving it to Ali. I mean, to Miss Love. No, your name is now Ali, and now your name is Miss Love Ali. I know that's going to be confusing for a while.
No one particularly likes the Taliban because they're an extremist force.
Not even the Taliban.
Not even the Taliban. Not even the modern Taliban. Even the people that are willing to die for the Taliban really like the Taliban. Yeah, but there's a thing over here. So
when there's a vacuum, then that those guys come up, right?
So what happens is after the Soviets, after the Soviet Union was defeated in Afghanistan and the US pulled out like Trump wants to do, there was a vacuum that led to a civil war, which meant intense bloodshed. Once the Taliban took over, they came up with this extreme form of government. Yeah. So like public lynching, women's rights was just like, it was a joke. Like it wasn't even a thing. However, a lot of people were satisfied. Not because
stability.
Because like they finally weren't afraid of dying.
It's like dictatorships. Yeah. There's usually stability.
The thing is, if you want to maintain stability, and stability in the sense that like there's not a civil war,
you have
to accept the Taliban in some capacity because they do control in the best of times when the US is winning the countryside, and in the worst of times for the US, major cities too. So you will need to come up with some sort of an agreement with them. That's just like, there's no matter how much you hate them, have to do.
I'd love to know a history of Afghanistan in terms of like, you know, when the country formed. Like it just seems like so many.
It never really formed. That's the problem.
It never was formed. That's the problem. That's why these countries are a mess.
That's what I was going to say.
Because nation building, they just never went through nation building.
Yeah,
they are nation. They're just tribes.
They're tribes. And the thing is, like, they were all under control of empires. Well, there's a border that, and a lot of these borders they don't even accept. So there's a border which between Afghanistan and Pakistan, right? It's called the Durand Line.
Mm.
It's something that the Afghan. Even during the peak when Pakistan was the only country that was supporting the Taliban and even recognized them as a legitimate state, the Taliban still never recognized the border and said that we actually control your side of area too.
Mm. Because hell yeah. So boss.
Dreamers. They're nutcases.
Just telling
They're
Pakistan
nutcases.
What's what.
Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
Damn, taught you a lesson, Ali.
Hey, they want money.
Yeah. Well, no. What I'm saying is like yeah. they, because these were under empires, right? So empires have
like the Ottoman Empire borders.
No, well,
different.
So back in the day, like the part of,
they were always doomed.
And also, this is the other thing.
The Taliban are basically Pashtuns, which is an ethnic group. And there are more Pashtuns in Pakistan than there are in Afghanistan.
Bullshit.
And it's true. Part of the area.
Does Al-Qaeda have a seat in parliament in Pakistan?
Not Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda and Taliban are different.
I mean the Taliban?
No.
Okay.
But at one point they had very high influence.
Is Fox News correct in saying there are strong links between Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and you can't take out one without taking out the other?
There were, more importantly.
I'm telling you, dude. Gold.
Al-Qaeda has been somewhat defeated. So, but there was a time. Well, that was what the whole Osama bin Laden, that's why like Afghanistan got attacked. Osama bin Laden, who's basically the head of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, but is that why they were attacked? Is it what Alex Jones said, that they wanted to set up poppy farms and start selling heroin to secretly fund CIA operations in conjunction with top secret frog babies?
Yeah, I'll buy that.
That's obviously more accurate. But
see, because the thing is, you can sit there and act all smug about this, Ali, you bloody Pakistani Jerry Seinfeld.
Jesus Christ.
The thing is,
why
I talked to a guy that was from Afghanistan that was a Hazara tribe dude, and he was saying that US soldiers allow that they allow poppy growing to happen. They just stand around and walk around and don't do anything.
Control it.
Yeah, how could they control that?
Because the poppy
why don't they just burn the crops when they find them?
Because who wants to mess with the Taliban in their area? Because what you don't understand is there's a stalemate.
And also, who cares?
Most of these poppy farms are in the country area, which de facto are controlled by the Taliban. The US forces would know exactly where these farms are. Mm. They're probably given clear instructions not to fuck with it.
Right, okay. Sorry.
No, you go on.
Well, you've got the floor.
I'll give you the floor. Final word.
My final word would be, Ali, would you rather live in the rural areas of Pakistan or the cities?
Of Pakistan?
No, Afghanistan.
Cities.
Oh, really?
It depends on also what rural area. So when I say the country areas or the rural areas of Afghanistan dominated by the Taliban, that's mostly on their eastern border. The western border. So Afghanistan has there's a lot of ethnicities, right? There's the Pashtuns, which dominate the eastern border, which neighbors Pakistan. Then on the western border, which neighbors Turkmenistan, there's a whole bunch of ethnicities. There's Turkmen people. There's the Tajik people. There's Hazaras, which were known as the Northern Alliance against the Taliban when the U.S. came over. Mm. So it depends on what sort of country area I'm living in. And also, more importantly, whatever country area I'm living in, what am I? Yeah. If I'm the wrong ethnicity in the wrong country area, I'm fucked.
Jesus. Is there one Jew in Afghanistan?
They're all left around the 1950s.
Yeah.
To Israel. There used to be.
Is this Afghanistan?
And also on top of this, are the Tajiks cat people? Every time I think about them, I just think about human beings with cat faces that just sit there and be like, do you want to trade some bread?
Damn. Is that confirmed or not?
Can you confirm that, Ali? No, but but all these sounding names, don't you think? They just sound like mythical creatures in Middle Earth that broker deals with to get through to Mordor.
I kind of don't buy this whole thing about every country is a society of different cultural groups apart from, well, not every country, but a majority, a lot of countries, especially with immigration.
Well,
like, is there an Afghani national anthem?
Yeah. There is, but
But who sings
these
it?
Countries, don't think of particularly Afghanistan as a country like Australia. Like, we've been through the nation building process, right? And there's a lot.
Edmund Barton.
Go
on.
Yes. Proof is in the pudding.
In Europe, at least, they've been through, and they're somewhat homogenous as well, right? There's only these experiments of the new world, the Americas.
No, I get Australia, that. I get that. But Iran managed it. Turkey managed it. I mean, the rest of the Middle East pretty much.
Egypt, somewhat.
Well, I know the whole Arab Spring, but that's more.
So Afghanistan, Syria, a lot of these places have just come to being after the decolonization process where lines were drawn somewhat arbitrarily and also depending on who controls what at the time rather than what the people relate to.
Yeah, it's the nature of power struggles and proxies. Like if a country has the ability to extract resources, they're going to control the country and then it's going to let go, right?
About extracting the resources, it's believing strategic in the government. Like, no one in Afghanistan believes any form of authority because.
So I want to know some possible scenarios.
Possible scenarios is within the government that there's a power sharing. There's another possible scenario which I think is unlikely, which is that the Taliban say, okay, we control this area and you control that area. That sounds good, but I don't think it's likely to happen because both.
There's people
never
from each side.
Normally what happens is when there's a conflict like this, there's a separatist movement where we want our own country.
Yeah.
In Afghanistan, no one's actually fighting for their own country. Everyone accepts that this is one block of land that will stay together.
Mm.
So I don't think that the dividing up area like it happened in Iraq or something, it probably won't happen. The power sharing will be within the government.
Right.
So they'll all sort of like share the federal funds or whatever.
Damn.
And make money out of it.
Can't they all just get
it's so all? Middle Eastern politics is so fucking complicated. What's more screwed, Africa? Just a quick simple answer. What's more screwed, more Afghanistan or Syria?
Afghanistan for sure.
Afghanistan as well. Well, they're both very similar.
So do you think so?
It's confusing to me. I thought,
but like, look, Syria without outside intervention would have a stable government. That is not Afghanistan.
When you say a stable government, what you mean is like an extreme writ of this one guy and his government that's controlling everyone, like Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
His people weren't really stable. Keen on...
Everyone's
ethnicity and like a few other alliances of his were really okay with him. What I'm saying is like nations like, for example, France or England, if tomorrow there's a vacuum, these nations will rebuild because they've gone through the nation building process. Syria, Afghanistan haven't. So once there's a vacuum, everyone fights.
But it seems so simple. Like I understand why logically there's a vacuum, but it's like
it seems like
that's like a natural progression, right?
It's a natural progression, but it's also a process that needs to happen. It happens over a very long period of time, and it doesn't help when. Like you have been at a crossroads of two empires that have been fighting with each other.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So that is, but you know what? But what I'm saying is like, this wasn't a sad segment. What I'm saying is like, there's a ray of hope. This might work out. And if it does, it'll be much better.
Are you confident it will?
Yeah. Are you confident?
I know that every single party is down for it, which in itself is a very, very good thing.
Look, so Ali, just say yes.
So there could be images of like women laughing in the streets, sipping on tea in Afghanistan.
Yeah, hopefully, but probably wearing like scarves and shit. So don't expect mini skirts.
No. I don't expect mini skirts, and that's fine. But I can that's a possibility.
That's a possibility. Like, that still happens. Like by Iran. The way. Like, not every place is. Yeah, constantly I know under that. Siege. I know that. Yeah.
Like Iran in the 60s and Pakistan and Pakistan.
Well, Iran is still like that. Iran is not Afghanistan by any means. It's a functioning state.
That's
what
I mean. It
just happens to be a theocracy, but...
A what?
Like a religious society.
Oh, Iran.
A religious state.
It's Muslim.
Iran, you're saying,
oh, yeah,
right?
sorry. Iran,
Iran is a functioning country. Yeah. Like there's not particularly anything major.
It's really good.
They just have a different culture, but like other than that, it's like any other.
And how
country.
About Iraq?
Iraq, no. On the other hand, is kind of fucked. But like
Jesus,
Iraq's probably worse to be living in Afghanistan.
Why? Because of the whole blowback from the Americans.
2003.
So that's just not. That's
because
not,
it made the terrorists even harder.
Ugh.
It just got rid of the main dude. Like this is what happens when you get rid of like
who runs Iraq.
So
warlords.
ISIS.
So brutal.
So what happened was like Saddam Hussein was the Sunni leader who was eventually.
No, I know about the whole history, but like, I don't know from, 2006, 2007 onwards. I don't really know what happened. I was like, it'll sort itself
the Shia groups, backed by Iran currently control most of Iraq.
And that's bad.
And that's why ISIS.
They? I thought it was just pretty much mob rule.
And that's why ISIS got a stronghold.
Yeah, because ISIS were old Sunni fighters that were within the Saddam Hussein army. So they were like unhappy that their power got taken away. So they were trying to control Iraq.
So Ali, okay.
And Syria was already a mess.
Are you saying that in Iraq you can walk into a Sunni controlled area or a predominantly Sunni area as a Shiite and be safe in Iraq?
On the borders... probably yes, deep into the Sunni area. You know, ISIS has been somewhat defeated as well, so you probably could at this point.
Really? God, so it's actually stabilized?
No, I wouldn't say stabilized. There's always crests and troughs. Like, by no means Iraq is solved.
Right.
But...
Can you rank the most fucked to least fucked, that's a technical term, by the way, countries in the Middle East, stable, safety, all that kind of stuff in terms of rank them? Like, what's the... Best to worst. You know what I'm saying? Like Afghanistan, Iraq, probably.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, let's not go through the whole place, but come on, just the top and bottom.
It's like seven countries.
The fucked ones are Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya.
Wait, slow down. Okay, they're the worst?
Yeah, they're probably the worst.
Say it again.
Iraq,
yeah.
Afghanistan,
yeah.
Syria,
yeah.
Libya,
right.
Yemen. Yemen is fucked at the moment. Why? As well.
Saudis.
Same thing.
Jesus. It's so brutal. I mean, like, Turkey's obviously the best, if that even counts.
Nah, Turkey wouldn't be the best.
What?
No, Jordan. Turkey's Jordan's right. Killing it.
Israel? I know, it's war torn.
In Wait. Terms of, like, so Turkey is a legitimate nation state.
Yeah, yeah, I know that. Unlike, wait a sec. Jordan's killing it? It's yeah. Just because your name, isn't it, buddy?
Nah, Turkey's better than Jordan. Me.
Why is Jordan killing it?
I mean, it's got that's a stable government. Government.
Yeah, and the government's cool. Benign.
Yeah.
And it's a prosperous area as well. It's doing well.
What's their race?
Jordanian?
Arabs.
It's so crazy. I mean, Libya, look, if someone said to me, like, say, like, what do you know about Libya? I'd be like, I get nothing. Like, it's just like, I don't know any Libya. Like, I know, I'm just asking questions.
Same that thing that happened in Iraq, which, like, right. Colonel Gaddafi.
Oh, Gaddafi was. Yeah, was
Gaddafi was the guy who was basically controlling Libya.
But wait a sec.
And
wait
once
a sec.
He went away, then there was a civil
I'm sorry, war. But it is a crime that a dictator that has heaps of shots of him without a shirt on, and sometimes just like a dressing gown that has a lot of leopard print on it, but always holding a gun. Is no longer the dictator.
Don't say that. He was horrible. They dragged
him. No, he was not as bad as what the Western media
dude,
tells
they dragged
you.
Him into the streets and...
Who yeah, of course him? He had enemies.
The public.
Not just any public. So even Gaddafi, same thing as
man,
like...
Man, this is the same thing as...
Seen
as
a
tribe, this is what
Gaddafi's
I'm saying. Like, dude, going back from...
was very pissed off that he was gone.
But I've seen, I did see a so sort of doco on Libya that was saying that like the people
Libya
hated him.
If you look at the map of Libya.
Of course they did. But again, it's Western propaganda. Mislav, what you need to understand is that like every documentary that you ever see is from the US's perspective.
That's true.
And the other thing on top of that is honestly, having gone to a country that is run by a dictatorship, it's not that bad.
Right.
Just don't say anything bad about him. And if he ever walks, if you ever see the car white price, just like excitedly wave, which you would if you saw the dictator's car do anyway.
It's like Mac DeMarco going, you're going to wave.
And it's fine. And your life is fine. Dictatorships aren't that bad.
I get what you're saying.
Think of Libya is...
Gaddafi was there.
There's two borders, right? Most of the population and the cities are on each ends. There's a massive desert in between.
Mm.
There's one main city on one end known as Tripoli.
Mm.
There's the other main city on the other end known as Benghazi.
Yeah.
Tripoli
looks
was,
pretty sick.
Was Tripoli was Colonel Gaddafi's stronghold and his tribe area.
Yeah.
Benghazi was an opposing tribe and its strong area. Colonel Gaddafi maintained the writ on the entire Libya by his whatever dictatorship, whatever it is. Once they got rid of Gaddafi, the Benghazi area was very happy and the Tripoli area was very sad. The people that killed Colonel Gaddafi were Benghazi area people. The Tripoli area people were very sad that he was gone because their guy was dead.
Yeah, I get you.
Then there was a civil war between the two sides. And Al-Qaeda usually comes in these sort of situations when there's a vacuum. So there was essentially three states that were made out of Libya. One was the Tripoli, which was the Gaddafi area. Yeah. There was the Benghazi area. And then just as a bonus, there was the Al-Qaeda.
Shit. And that's where they're at now? Three?
Well, they've gone to two.
Is Al-Qaeda still there?
No, Al-Qaeda is pretty much gone.
Right. Yeah, it's so, dude, like, not to sound like, you know, koshy, frankly, but it really makes you thankful that you're Australian. Because, like, damn, it's just brutal, isn't it?
Well,
yeah, but a lot of it is just US intervention.
Yeah, I know that. That's very true.
Honestly, like, everyone's always, they're always just talking about how evil the dictator is. But what they don't understand is that the dictator maintains order.
That's true.
And order is just tenement to society. Yeah, like, you don't have a society without order.
That's totally true.
And Bush isn't to blame for that. Obama, Hillary Clinton in particular.
Yeah. Well, Benghazi, what all the shit in Benghazi with her.
Europe. Are to blame for that.
Yeah. I'm not doubting that. Yeah. I mean, everyone, like, you know.
Hillary Clinton was, if you've seen that video of her where she's delighted when she finds out that Colonel Gaddafi is dead.
Yeah.
Have you seen that video?
Yeah.
That's an evil video.
Yeah, I know.
Because what she's essentially is happy about is a collapse of a society.
Damn.
And years of civil war after.
Why?
because they got rid of the guy who was opposing their interests within it. In fact, not even her interests, European interests.
It's bizarre. It is bizarre.
Well, on that sobering note, let's...
I could do this all night. No, tell me more. Is Egypt fucked?
Egypt is,
yeah, but nowhere near as.
Yeah, nowhere near as. Egypt's all
right. Now we're in the Middle East, you'd want to live, Misov, trust me.
No.
Like, don't look, meat on a sword, yes. Actually, I changed my mind. You would want to live in Afghanistan. Like, I'm pretty sure you just want to eat one of those meats and just get shot in the... You get shot in the stomach, and while you're dying, you just go...
It was worth it.
Good food.
Yeah, good food.
All right, well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Bye.